Yeah, tonight is Sunday night, October 20th. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Masechah Sukkah, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis.
Okay, Rabotai, we started the Mishnah last week, and today we're going to examine in great detail the mitzvah of Chatzotzros that takes place in the Mikdash. So the Mishnah says, Ein pochsin me esrim ve'achas tkios b'mikdash. We do not blow ever less than 21 tkios in the Mikdash. Ve'ein mosifin al arba'o shmoneh. And we do not add above 48. B'chol yom, every day, on an ordinary day, hayu sham esrim ve'achas tkios b'mikdash. There were 21 soundings of tkios in the Mishkan. Shalosh lepsicha sharim, three when they opened up the gates. V'teisha l'tamid shel shachar, nine during the course of the offering of the tamid shel shachar. V'teisha l'tamid shel ben arbay, and nine for when they were makriv the korban tamid in the afternoon. U'bimusafin, and whenever you bring a korban musaf, hayu mosifin od teisha, they would add another nine tkios. U'be'erev Shabbos, hayu mosifin sheish, on every Friday they would add six additional blasts. Shalosh lahavta l'sami melacha, three to indicate that people should be shutting down their businesses. V'shalosh lahavta ben kodesh l'chol, and three to indicate Shabbos has arrived, recognizing the difference between kodesh and chol. Erev Shabbos shebesocha chag, erev Shabbos during the yontif of Sukkos. Hayusham arba'im u'shmone, there were 48 blasts of the Chatzosros. Sholosh lepsicha sharim, three for the opening up of the gates. Sholosh the shara elyon, three when it reached the shara elyon of Yerushalayim. Sholosh leshara tachton, and reached the lower gates. This is talking about the nisuch hamayim process. V'sholosh lemilui hamayin, and three for the actual drawing of the waters of the Nisuch HaMayim. V'sholosh agabi ha-mizbeach, and three when they were menaseich the Mayim agabi ha-mizbeach. Teisha l'tamid shel shachar, teisha l'tamid shel beinu abayim, teisha l'musafin, sholosh l'havdil l'sam in malacha, v'sholosh l'havdil ben kodesh l'chol, a total of 48. So we're going to start with two Rambams, who the Rambam, as to how he formulates the opening line of the Mishnah, which is Ein Posin Me Esin V'Achas Tkiyas B'Migdash. It's page number one on the handout. Page number one on the handout. And the Rambam writes, Ein Mosifin Arba Ushmone. The fact that the Mishnah says we do not go beyond 48, Rotze Bazeh, this is really to indicate Al Harov, the majority of the year they did not exceed 48. Ki Tachain Biktzat Hashanim, it is possible during some years Shiyebo Yom Yiebo Shivim Vechamish Shiva Vechamishim Tkiyos. There is a possibility that in one year, a particular year in which the calendar is arranged, you would wind up blowing 57 blasts of the shofar. V'hu kishi yachul erev Pesach b'Shabbos. When erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, ukvar kideim lach b'Psachim. And I have already explained this already in Maseches Psachim. Ki ha-Pesach nishchat b'shlosha kitot. The Pesach was slaughtered in three different groups. The Azara and the Mikdash could not handle everybody, so they divided into three shifts. V'sham Omar, and there it is stated, nichneses kat rishona, when the first group enters the Azara, tuk'u hariyu v'tiku. So they blew three right there and then. V'od Omar, and there it also says, Karu sahalel, im gamru shanu, v'im shanu shileshu. Throughout the Shechitas HaPesach, the Mishnah Psachim says, you have to recite Hallel, not only during the consumption of the Korban Pesach at night, but you have to sing Hallel during the Shechitas HaPesach as well. And the Chatzotzros accompanied, when the Levim sang the Hallel, the Chatzotzros were blown as well. Now in each group, it says that the groups were so large that they had to repeat the Hallel, they finished the whole Hallel, and that particular group in the Mikdash had not yet been finished. So what do? Zuchman Hallel Nachamo, you start Hallel again. And you blow a shofar. And the same thing is true, not only the second time, but the third time. And that's what it says. In Gamru Shanu, V'im Shanu Shileshu. V'omar, and then the Mishnah continues and says, Ki ma'aseh harishona, kach ma'aseh bishniya, ushlishis. Not only is this the pattern for the first group that enters the Mikdash, but it's also the pattern that enters the second and third groups in the Mikdash. Harein isbar, it is obviously clear, Bozeh, ki shalosh tkios b'chol kriya, there are three blasts of the Chatzotzros with every reading, Shehem b'shlosha kitos, that comes out to shiva ve'esrim tkios. That comes out to 27 blasts of the shof of the Chatzotzros on Erev Pesach, just to accompany the Hallel of the Shechitas HaPesach. V'yudches l'shnei tamidin, and 18 more for what? For the two korbanos tamid, that makes 48. 48. V'tisha l'musaf Shabbos, 27 and 18 is 45. And then tisha l'musaf Shabbos, 9 for the korban musaf of Shabbos. Ushlosh l'psicha shiarim, and 3 more for what? For the opening and closing of the gates. V'ef sharlios b'mikdash yoshlem izehamin. I can tell you now, there is never a possibility where there can be more than 57 blasts of the Chatzotzros. So the Rambam said, if there is a time, and it's already documented in Maseches Pesachim, that what? That such a possibility exists when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, why does the Mishnah say, Ein Mosifin al Shmonim Varba, that you don't have ever more than 48? It's not true. You can have up to 57. So the Rambam adds, based on the fact that you're right, the Mishnah is talking about a majority of the years. A majority of the years, Erev Pesach doesn't come out on Shabbos. Just think of our own calendar. How often it does happen, but it doesn't happen that frequently. It happened in our recent, in 1977, happened in 1981, and a couple of years ago. But it doesn't happen very frequently. So therefore, Rambam claims that the Mishnah codes that which takes place on an annual basis. And a Shabbos of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, there always got to be. There's always got to be one Shabbos in Chol HaMoed Sukkos, which adds the additional one because of the Nisuch HaMayim, plus it's Shabbos, and so on and so forth. Therefore, it's impossible to go more than 48 on a regular annual basis. On a regular annual basis. That's what the Rambam says. It's interesting that if you flip the page to page number 2, the Rambam in Sefer in Mishneh Torah, where he actually codes this particular Mishnah, in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, the Rambam writes, Ze she'al ha-mishorim hu borer b'chol hayom ha-mishorim she'omdin al-duchan lo ma-shivar v'peh. That there would be a selection of those Levi'im who know how to sing, who are now going to be asked to sing during the what? During the korbanos to accompany the korban. Because if you don't sing well, you're not in the choir. The alpiv token al kolar korbanos. And based on this, on the accompanying the shira b'peh, the chatzotzos were blown in the mikdash. And the Rambam writes, Ein pochsin b'mikdash miyachas v'esrim tkiyah b'chol yayin. We never have a minimum less than what? 21. And he writes which ones? Shalosh l'psicha sharim, v'teisha l'tamid shal shachar, v'teisha l'beinu abayim, v'yom shiyesh b'karban musaf, misif, v'teisha al karban musaf. V'im chal rosh chodesh ayom tov lias b'shabbos or shechal rosh hashan lias b'shabbos sheyesh shom shlosha musafin ain token l'chol musaf or musaf pifnei atzmo ela token teisha bilvad l'chol hamusafin l'chol hamusafin. Then the Rambam in the next halacha simply tells us, what do you do on Erev Shabbos? What do you do on Sukkos? And he never mentions that there's ever any maximum. Never. Never mentions that there's any maximum. The only thing that the Rambam is written in Sefer in Mishneh Torah is that there was no minute, that there was nothing less than there is a minimum. Ein posen miyasim ve'achad. But he gives you calculations how you might add, but he is careful in the Mishneh Torah never to tell you precisely what's happening in terms of the maximum. Maybe he was a little careful, he understood what he had written there. All right, you know what? The Mishnah says 48, but I know it's 57, so I'm just not going to open up my mouth and tell you how. You blow as many as you have to, and that's it. You blow as many as you have to. Now, some were troubled by the Rambam's omission of a maximum at the end, and want to understand what exactly does the Mishnah mean, ein posin v'ein mosifin. When you see a phrase like that, what image is conjured up in your own mind when you see a phrase, ein posin v'ein mosifin? Well, I'll give you an example. In Maseches Pesachim, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara lists various havdalot. How many havdalot are you supposed to say? And the Brisa says, ein posin mishalosh ve'ein mosifin al sheva. You're not supposed to say less than three havdalot every Friday night, and you're not supposed to say more than what? Seven havdalot. Because there are, on Shabbos, which is Saturday night, you have, in addition to the Shabbos, you have a whole set, up to seven. So when you see two numbers, ein mosifin ve'ein posin, what do you think about what the halach is trying to tell you? What do you think that the halach is trying to tell you? That the number is absolutely imperative. Imperative. That you have to do minimum of 21, and you cannot do more than whatever the prescribed number is. So let me ask you this question. What happens if a Kohen blows, on a regular ordinary day, 18? Does that mean he's not mekayim the mitzvah? He didn't. You can look at it, whenever there is a minimum that has to be established, you can now look at it two ways. A, that if you don't follow the minimum, nothing has been accomplished at all. You've absolutely wasted your time. So when they blew the three lepsicha sharim and nine for the korban tamid, okay, but they didn't blow for nine for the korban tamid shel ben amayim. So it's Arois Givaf and Etzat, they wasted their time by blowing in the nine for the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. That's one possibility. Or you can say no, that the Mishnah of Ein Posin doesn't mean to preclude that if you blow less than the minimum 21, it's as if you've done absolutely nothing. It's just telling you that on an ordinary day, there is no regular cycle of less than 21. That's the preferred route by all Rishonim. That in the case of Ein Posin, it does not wish to indicate that a Kohen who does his job dutifully and blows when they blew the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, and they brought the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, and for someone he was lazy in the afternoon and did not bring because he was watching the Jet Patriot game, which you were very happy, very, very upset with today. Because the Kohen was watching the game and he forgot to blow the Chafir Kohen, that doesn't mean he wasn't the Kohen his mitzvah for the morning. That's how the majority of Rishonim learn. Correct. No, lichatchil, of course you should do it right. But b'di'eved, he gets credit for what he's done, and he will be held accountable for what he did. But it doesn't negate that, because even though he didn't get to the 21.
He didn't blow for the
Shara,
he still
blows for the Tachar. Correct. If he forgot to blow the Pisa Shara, the doors are opened already, he will blow for the... Exactly. One part is not makif the other. However, when it comes on the end, there is already some discussion, namely, that And take a look at the Rambam, and I'll show you where the Rambam is based on this. Take a look at page 3 for a minute. It's the Rambam Perek Gimel Chayes Mish Halacha Vav. The Rambam writes, "B'shneim asar yom bashana hechalil mukal lifnei hamizbeach." If you remember correctly, we discussed at the beginning of the perek about various instruments that were played to accompany various korbanot. Rambam writes, "On 12 days a year, the chalil used to play b'shchitas pesach rishon, shchitas pesach sheni." Ubiyomtov Harishin Shel Pesach, Ubiyomtov Harishin Shel Atzeres, that's Shavuos, Ubishmanes Miachak. The Chalil Ze Doiche Shabbos, Mimleishu Chalil Shel Korban. The Chalil Shel Korban Avoidahi, Vidoiche Shabbos. Okay? So the Rambam here tells you something about a flute, a Chalil. And that he believes that, if you remember the discussion at the beginning of the Perek, there was a debate on Nun Amid Beis whether Iker Shira Bekli or Iker Shira Bepeh. What is the primary way of singing song praise unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it the verbal singing done by the Leviim? Or was it the playing of the instruments, the various instruments? So one of the differences which the Gemara articulated was that if you believe that Iker Shira Bepeh, then the Chalil is not Doiche Shabbos. Because it's not really the way, it's an enhancement, but not Iker. If however the Chalil, if Iker Shira Bekli, and the Rambam Paskins that way, it is now Doiche Shabbos. What now becomes, what status does the Chalil now attain if it's now considered an integral part of the Avodah? Give me the name of a utensil which is now considered, which is now an aid to a facilitating Avodah. What do we call those utensils? A kli shareis, correct. And the halacha is that you are not permitted to use a kli shareis under any circumstances except for in the context of what? Of the Avodah. Of the Avodah. Therefore, some Achronim raised the question. If the Rambam Paskins, that the Chalil, which is subject to debate, whether it is part and parcel of the Avodah, is considered a Kli or not, so much so that it will be Doicha Shabbos and identified as a Kli Shareis, what about the Chatzotzros, which are used L'divrei HaKol? There is no one who disagrees that chatzotzros accompanied every single korban. There is, whatever korbanos are mandated. There's no doubt. So under those circumstances, would you assign and award the status of a kli shareis to the chatzotzros? Undoubtedly, yes. And you would now come to the conclusion that since they are prescribed in terms of the avodah, personal use is, or additional use, is a violation of what? Of a utensil in the mikdash. Hence, two questions are raised by a variety of achrayim. Is it possible that although I've conceded the point that ein pochsin mehen is not to be taken that literally, but perhaps ein mosifin aleihen is very much to be taken seriously? And that on an ordinary day, 21 is the absolute maximum. And that if the Kohen were to go ahead and blow number 22, he'd be violating something, whatever the Easter is, to use, it'd be Moel, whatever it is, because it's not within the Mizgeret of the Avodah. So if this is the case, it becomes very critical for us to identify what is the maximum as well. And not just, some days it's 21, some days 48, 57. There is a serious halachic difference whether today is an ordinary day, in which case number 22 is no good. But on Erev Shabbos, you can have that's one level of question that they ask. And if that is the case, they are wondering, why did the Rambam, in the previous Rambam, ignore any maximum description whatsoever? He alerted it to us in his commentary to the Mishnah, that the Mishnah lists the 48 because that's what happens every year. The Mishnah does not describe a scenario which is infrequent. Milsa de lo shchicha, you didn't talk about. Doesn't happen very... But the maximum is 57. Why in his code does the Rambam only speak of 21 as the minimum, which we just acknowledge? If you blow 9, it's not going to invalidate the 9 that you did blow. Yet on the back end of it, Mosifin is a serious issue. So the Rambam, if he wanted to do anything, should have listed the absolute maximums on a given day. Why does he choose not to do so? Yes.
These are still not optional. It's not like
Aliyah's
son, Shabbos Niyanta, to have as many as you want.
That's correct.
It has to be, so there's no arbitrary number here. If you follow this pattern, then you'll get to a certain number. It'll be 48 on certain days.
Correct. But why didn't the Rambam just say, V'ein Mosifin al Abam Shemayim? You know, what if Kainu says he's really blown? He's really got it today, right? He's really blown. So he's going to blow an extra Tekiah, true Tekiah. You know, so what? Yeah.
What?
Excellent question. That's the second half of the question, which the Avnei Nezer and many other Achrayim ask. If this is indeed true, how does the Mishnah allow Chatzotzros to be blown simply as a signal that people should stop doing Malach on Shabbos? If it's just a casual instrument, you can blow a trumpet, no problem. So blow a trumpet to let people know that blow the siren as the siren goes today in Yerushalayim. They blow the siren, everybody knows Shabbos is approaching. But if you're dealing with the Chatzotzros, and then under those circumstances, it becomes a klisha race, by what license does the Mishnah grant a Kohen to blow with the Chatzotzros, a klisha race, simply to inform people Shabbos is arriving, Shabbos has arrived? That's not a kiyum in the Avodah. It's not a kiyum in the Avodah. So what the Sachet Shava answers is, he says, something that we've come across in the past, even though the Gemara doesn't talk about it. If you remember, we discussed a concept called Lev Bezdin Masne Alehem. That there are times that Bezdin creates a certain license to use a stipulation. And as the item was consecrated, endowed with Kedusha in the Mikdash, Beis Din said, we are consecrating this with the knowledge that it's going to be used for another Dvar Mitzvah. Obviously, to blow at the jet game, they're not going to do that, to make noise as a noisemaker. But, to aid and facilitate a mitzvah, perhaps that's what... Okay, it's not the most compelling answer. The Kash is better than the Teretz. I'm just alerting you to the fact that there are two questions that result out of the Hosafa. Number one, that if you do blow in excess of the number, you will be subject to an Issa Me'ila, because this is now endowed with the status of a klisha reis. And then that spawns your question, how did they use a klisha reis to simply alert people when Shabbos and Yom Tov is? After all, a klisha reis has to be limited, its use, to the Avodah, and you have to fumfa and say, now, Leif Best Masna Lane, okay, just be aware of the difficulty, because it is difficult. It's difficult. Like I always say, you know the difficulty, you're in good shape for Nakasha Shtarpnish. That's the very famous phrase. Yeah. Yes. Now, if you now take a look at the next Rambam, oh, where's that Rambam? One second. Gimel Hay. Yeah. Look at, again, page 3. And I want you, Rabotai, to anticipate the Chinuch's question on the Rambam. before I show it to you inside. We're going to read Halacha Hey. We read our Mishnah. We said something about it. Now we're going to read Halacha Hey. Bimei HaMoadot Kulam, every Yom Tov, Uverashi Chadashim, Hayu HaKohanim Tokim B'Chatzotzros, B'Sha'as HaKorban, V'Halaviyim Omshiva. The Kohanim would blow the Chatzotzros during the bringing of the Korban, and the Leviim would sing song. Shine Emar, Uveyom Simchasram Uvamoadechem Uvrochei Chatzotzros, Uskatem B'Chatzotzros, Alolosechem Valzivche Shalmechem. We incorporate this particular pasuk in the bracha of shofros on Rosh Hashanah. That's the concluding pasuk of the bracha of shofar. Just by way of, as an aside, the Rav never said that pasuk. He said it doesn't fulfill the text. Doesn't mention the shofar. Talks about chatzotzros, and you're supposed to make a mention of a pasuk about shofar. He substituted a different pasuk for this one that we said on Rosh Hashanah. Then. Yeah. Anyhow, so the Rambam says that. Very nice. Okay, I read enough, Rabotai. Tell me what question the Gemara Chinuch is going to ask on this Rabbah. What questions is Chinuch going to ask? Read the Rambam again, and we just learned the Mishnah. And what about, even go beyond that? You want to roll? Every day. We read a Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're supposed to blow a Chatzaifas every single day. And suddenly the Rambam says, when do the chatzotzros blow? On Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov. Because it says, "V'yom sechasim aylechem." What's going on here? That's the question which the Chinuch asks. So let's see the Chinuch inside. On the next page. Came out terrible. Can't, that was an old Chinuch that I copied it from. It came out terrible. But you can barely read it. It's Mitzvah Shin Pei Dalet in the Chinuch. It's a parshas Paloischa, and I bracketed the relevant lines in the Chinuch on the bottom. V'noheges mitzvah zu bizman abayis b'kohanim sha'aleihem hamitzvah liskoa b'chatzotzros. The mitzvah of blowing the chatzotzros has been assigned to the kohen that they have to bring. Ukeinin shine'emar shekosav b'Torah b'masa hamachanot, because in parshas Paloischa, where the Torah creates where Moshe is told to fashion two silver trumpets, it says, "Ubinei Aharon Hakohenim Yisku b'Chatzotzros." It says that Aaron and his children should blow the Chatzotzros. V'shema Tomar, if you would like to suggest, Lo hayu tokin heim al hakorban, that the text doesn't say that they blew it where. On the carpet. When does the text actually say Uvnei Arkon Yisku? Lemasa ulemikraha idam. When they had to indicate travel in the desert, time to move, time to stop, and to gather people when Moshe wanted to speak. But perhaps in conjunction with the Karbanos, that was the Leviim and not the Kohanim. Ain't okay. That's not the halacha. Sharei beferish amru b'maseches midos perik vav. It says black on blue in Maseches Midos, Perek Vav, Nasnu lo yayin l'naseich. They give the kohen wine to pour on the mizbeach. Hasgan omed al akeren, v'hasudarin biyado. He stands on the side of the mizbeach and he's got this handkerchief in his hand. Ushnei kohanim omdin al shulchan hachalavim, ushtei chatzotzrots biyadam taku v'haril v'taku. So you couldn't get any clearer than who's blowing the chatzotzros during Nisach Hayayin every single day of the Korban. Who's doing it? It's the Kohanim. Harein is Ba'er, Shal Yidei Kohanim, Nasa Mitzvah Zu. Ushihi Mitzvah Tmidit Lohem. This is a mitzvah which always applies to them. Kilomar. Shebechol Yom Hayu Tokin. V'lo B'yom Moed V'rosh Chodesh Bilvad. Not only on Yom Tov or Rosh Chodesh. Avol Rambam shekasa b'mei hamoed kulan uberashi chadashim ayakanim tokim b'chatzotzros v'halaviim on mimshira nira midvarav shebda'ato shebishar hayamim af halaviim tokim b'chatzotzros v'imravru alzeh hakohanim v'lo tikul b'shasa korban v'chein lo tikul b'shasa tzara bitlu aseizu. Fine. So the Chinuch asks on the Rambam, where'd you get this from? That what? That blowing every single day was done, was the only time you blew was Yontif and Rosh Chodesh. Seems to be quite clear that they would blow every single day. And who were the blowers? The Kohanim. So there are three answers to this question. Yeah. Excellent. That's one of the answers, which everybody gives for the Rambam. The Minchas Chinuch answers that question. Minchas Chinuch says, "What? It's an old Rambam. It's on the side there. It's a long Minchas Chinuch. It's too dark. So Minchas Chinuch says exactly what you said, namely, there is no source in the Torah other than Uviyoyim Simchas Chumumoadechem that anybody has to blow chatzaitzos. The only time where the pasuk actually says did you blow chatzaitzos were activities when Am Yisrael were traveling in the Midbar, Masa HaMachanot, Mikra HaEidah. But that's not carried over to a time when you enter into Eretz Yisrael. Then the pasuk gives us two other times to read. What does it say? Chi Tavoa Milchama Al Atzora Atzorei Eschem. When there is eight tzara, the pasuk says you to sound the chatzotzros, and there's a long ramban for the purpose of kinufia, for gathering Am Yisrael to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the battle should go well. Then uviyoyim simchasum mayadecha. So the Rambam is of the opinion that mid the oraisa there's a chiyuv chatzotzros only Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Rosh Chodesh. Why do I say Shabbos? Because the Sifri says Uviyoyim simchaschem elu shabbosos. Because what does the phrase say? It says uviyoyim simchaschem uvi moadechem uvi rashei chachechem. So what are the three things?
That sounds like
to Bedin. What? I understand, but the pasuk, the psukim, I was talking about the koan, the whole parak, it's in that same parak yud. Two psukim later, right after the mikra haydan l'masa machanot, now the Torah says v'chisacho. So we assume the harayotem b'chatzotzrot and uskatem b'chatzotzrot is done by the same people. So the text itself only says Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Rosh Chodesh. And in fact, this is the basis of those who believe that in Mikdash there is a chi of simcha even on Shabbos. Uviyoyim simchaschem elu ha-shabbosos. And I told you that the that's why Nusach Ashkenaz only says Yismechu b'malchuscha in Tfilas Musaf, not in Shachris or Mariv. We start on Shabbos and Mariv, Shach Am Mikadish Yishvi Kulam Yisbu V'yosan Gumitu Vecha. But in Musaf, which takes us back to what? To the Mikdash time, you say Yismechu b'malchuscha, that's done by design, because only in Mikdash is there a chi of simcha in Mikdash based on the Sifri's comment. So under those circumstances, says the Minchas Chinuch, the Rambam held that Midoraisa, it's only those days. All the other days, only Midorabbanan. And that's it. So he recorded the Dindoraisa here in Hilchas Klei Mikdash. Don't get so upset. Our Mishnah, then, according to this, is recording only the Din Derabbanan. Our Mishnah is incorporating a merger. Some of the Tekiyos are Doraisa, some of them are Derabbanan. So that's you'll have a little merger on those particular days. Fine. That's how the Minchas Chinuch answers. A second answer is provided by, I forget who says, that the distinction which is rejected by the Chinuch is accepted by others, namely, that on Yom Simchas Moadechem, who blew the Chatzotzros? Kohanim, because that's the pasuk. All the rest of the year, only the Levim blew the Chatzotzros, and indeed, they blew it, but it has somewhat of a different role, and the Rambam here is focusing on the text which says, which are avodas hakohanim? Avodas hakohanim only Rosh Chodesh, Yontif, and Shabbos. The Levim, they blew it the other times, and hence the Rambam does not make reference in that particular halacha. Then there is a third answer suggested by a well-known Achron, a more recent one, the Evin Ozel, Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, and he says What does he say? That the difference lies is that on Moed, every Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh, they blew during the Hakrovas HaKorban. When they actually makriv the korban, that's when they blew. And on the rest of the year, they blew only when there was Nisuch HaYayin after the korban. Because after the korban, that's when the Leviyah, Menasech, it was the end. First you brought the korban, then was Umin Chasam V'Niskehem Kimidubar. So therefore the Rambam believes that the Pasuk of Yom Simchas HaMoyadeichem is that on Shabbos and Yom Tov you want to give prominence to the Chatzotzros, and it's not done only on Niskei HaYayin but in conjunction with the Karbonos themselves. So there's three answers to the Chinuch question. Now, the tour brings up an issue that challenged all Nosei Kalim of the Tor. And let's take a look at the next page where the Tor raises a very important issue. The question is, when we say Shir Shel Yom every day, what does the Shir Shel Yom correspond to? We know what it does. Hashir Shalivi Hayoimri Bebeis HaMikdash. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah actually says, they said these paragraphs, which we say every single day. Now, everyone agrees that there was a shir for the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar. But was there also one for the Karban Tamid Shel Beinu Arbayim? The assumption is that there is. Hence, the question going to be asked is, why is there no Shir Shel Yom by Tfilas Mincha? So let's take a look at the Tor. This is the Tor writing in Siman Kof Lamed Gimel, and the Tor writes, V'chein bo'erev, le'achash yigmeru tfilas arvis, nohagim lomar pitam ha'toyres. After they finished davening Mariv, they used to say, pitam ha'toyres. Avalo hashir. They did not say Hashir Shel Yom by Mariv. V'loma oimrim pitam ha'toyres, baboker ubo'erev, V'hashir baboker b'vad, l'fi shizeh mitzvasa baboker erev, v'zeh lohesa mitzvasa ela baboker. Shir was only when? In the morning. Hence, you're supposed to what? Say a shir shel yom. But, there was no a shir in the afternoon. There's no mitzvah shir in the afternoon, and as a result, there's no reason to say Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos if there was no shir in the afternoon. So says the Torah. Blanket statement. And he even considers the possibility that perhaps the yeshiva said it at Maariv, let alone at Mincha. I have not seen a community where they say Pitam HaTorah after Maariv. Eidot HaMizrach. I haven't seen that. Right? Mincha. They say it before Mincha, not after. He talks about saying it la'achash yigmu tfilas arvis or mincha no'agilon pitam ha'toras. You say it before, never at night. So the Prisha cites one of the most famous Gemaras, quoted identically in Rosh Hashanah and Beitza, and asks, what? Of course. How could the Torah forget an Af and a Mishnah? The most famous case in Maseches Beitza. What happened? The Mishnah says that they would always accept the Edim to determine that the new moon had been seen last night. They were mekablin Eidus HaChodesh Kol Hayom, all day. Says the Mishnah, Pam achas nishtahu ha'leviyim ha'edim ilavo. One time the Edim came very late. And it happened to have been when? What happened to men? Rosh Hashanah. It was Rosh Tishrei. It was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. And the witnesses, and the Beis Din told the Kohanim, the witnesses are not coming any longer, so bring the Kamet Tamet Shel Beinu Arbayim, sing the regular weekday song, and then, because today's not going to be Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh, the witnesses are not going to have enough time to be accepted today, they're going to come tomorrow. So tomorrow, today's going to be Lamed Elul. Tomorrow will be Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So tomorrow will be Rosh Hashanah. And then the witnesses showed up. And once the witnesses showed up, Bezdin was coerced to accept them and retroactively declared that this entire day was what? Was already Rosh Hashanah. So they made a takana, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that what? Shaloyu mikablin es ha'enim min ha'mincha olamala. From the Zman of Mincha and onward, we are not going to accept any Eidim at all. And they're going to say, from here on in, tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. But, and here is where the Yom HaRichter really came in. Here is where it came in. This is the origin of it. They told everybody that since Yotza Rov Hayom Bigdusha, since we have not been doing Malacha since last night, in anticipation of the Eidim coming. Because once the Eidim do come, retroactively to last night was Rosh Hashanah. So you can't do any Malacha because you will have retroactively violated an Issa D'oraisa of doing Malacha on Yom Rosh Hashanah. So everybody was observing that day B'Kedusha. Now they said, there's still another 2.5 hours left of the day, Goyim Rinosa B'Kedusha. Finish the day as Rosh Hashanah and Oisai Hayom Kodesh or Lamacha Kodesh. And the question which everybody asked was, what do you mean? Up until now, what was the reason why I shied away from doing Malacha? Because there was a possibility that it was going to be Aleph Tishrei. But after Mincha, when the Eidim came around, I know for a fact today is not going to turn into what? Aleph Tishrei. It's still Lamed of Elul. So if it's Lamed of Elul, how can anybody tell me not to do Malacha on Lamed Elul? How can they tell me not to do Malacha on Lamed Elul? So what did they create? Yom HaRichter. Aleph Tishrei is going to have, not 24 hours, it's going to have like 28 hours or 30 hours. That's all. We're going to start Aleph Tishrei today and it's going to go all the way till tomorrow. Make up this funny halacha. Because otherwise there would be no way for them to tell you that today at 3 o'clock in the afternoon you can't do malacha because it's still Lamed Elul. So they fabricated this halacha. So the Prisha asks on the tour, Rabbi Nishlam, what are you talking about? What was the problem when the Eidim came late? So you take a look at Rashi. What is Rashi was the problem was? That they sang the wrong shir. Because had it turned into Rosh Hashanah, the halacha in the Mikdash is, you never sing two shirim in the Mikdash. Every special day pushes aside the regular shir shel yom. So for example, on Rosh Chodesh, they only say Baruch Hinafshi. They don't say Hayom Yom Shlishi and Baruch Hinafshi. Only one. Each day of Yom Tov has its assigned shir shel yom. In fact, the shir shel yom of Rosh Hashanah happens to be the shir of Yom Chamishi. Because it says Tikul b'chodesh shofar b'kesel liyom chagenu, so that happens to Kichok liYisrael umish. That's an appropriate shear for Rosh Hashanah. That is the shear of Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi says that the reason why they made this takana of not accepting the Eidim early is due to the fact that they sang the wrong song at the Karvat Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. It was a Tuesday, for example, and they sang Mizvah Asaf Elohim Nitzav Badasel, and they should have been singing, the one for Yom Chamishi. So the priest asked, Mr. Tur, what are you talking about? That there is no shir at night. Of course there's a shir. There's a shir every day for the Kam Tam Shal Bein Amayim. So why is it that you ruled that we don't say a shir shel yom every single time by Mincha as well? So asks the Prisha on the tour. Because the tour said there is no Shir Shel Yom because mitzvasa of the Shir is only Baboker, Velo Ba'erev in the afternoon. That, says the Prisha, is impossible. Yeah.
But in Rosh Chodesh, what do they do in the morning?
Good. That's going to be one of the answers. That's going to be one of the answers. The answer which the Prisha gives is as follows. The only time that there's no doubt, says the Prisha, that they sang a song in the Mikdash every single time, morning and afternoon. Our practice is only when is a Zechal HaMikdash. That's why we do it. So what do we do a Zechal HaMikdash for? when we know definitively what the practice was in the Mikdash. So today, for example, what did they undoubtedly say in the Mikdash today? Hayom Rishon, right? L'davinu Yisrael, Aratz Hashem Ma'atzim Laila. However, if today would be day number 29, if yesterday was day number 29, and today, it's possible that today will turn into Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Let's assume for a moment. What would they have done on that 30th day? The Edom had not yet come. So the Prisha says, in the Beis HaMikdash, the rule of thumb was, Shachris, just sing the regular weekday song. Why? Because 99% of the time, the Edom did not get there before when? Before the Kabbat Tamid Shalat, Shaltamid Shashachar. They couldn't get there that early. So you have to operate right now by what's the normal pattern of events. The normal pattern of events is the Edom have not yet come, so we can't delay the Karban Tamid all day and wait for them to show up. So what do? We bring the Karban Tamid, we sing the regular weekday. If the Edom come any time after the Karban Tamid Shal Shachar, they will make the adjustment. And on Rosh Chodesh, by Karban Tamid, Shel Beinu Arbayim, what will they do? If the Edom already arrived, what will they do? They'll say Baruch Inavshim. But what happens if they're bringing the Karban Tamid, and the Edom have, Shel Beinu Arbayim, and the Edom have not yet come? Says the Prisha, they did not sing a song in the Mikdash. Because here is his argument. It's better not to say anything than to do what? Than to say the wrong thing. Not to say anything than say the wrong thing.
That's every month. Not just,
not just Rosh Hashanah. Every single month. I'll tell you what. I'm going to say Svara. A Svara, why? They used to do that. So, therefore, he says, our practice of commemorating something in the Mikdash was only done on a practice which we knew definitively took place every single day. By the Kabbat Tamid Shel Beinu Arbayim, sometimes, most of the time they said the Shir, but sometimes they did not. Hence there was no Minhag due to the fact that on some days there was no Kabbat Tamid Shel Beinu Arbayim. So you ask very well, you know, why don't you cover yourself and say the regular Sunday even if the Edom don't show? Why? And the answer is as follows. One of the major functions, and this is the Svar of the Gaon, one of the major functions of the Shir Shel Yom was Kidei Lefarsem, what unique day it was. Why is it that in the Mikdash, it's a matter of Levim couldn't sing two songs? They couldn't sing Hayayim Yom, L'David Mizra Hashem, and Baruch Inafshi Yis Hashem? When Rosh Hashanah comes out on Tuesday, you can't say Elohim Nitzav Badas El and then Shir of Yom Chamishi. Why couldn't you say two? So the Gaon explains, because one of the ways of communicating to a community without calendars was what? The Shir Shel Yom. They look for a variety of ways. In fact, the Gaon was of the opinion that you never ever say, even in Chutz Laretz today, you never say two Shir Shel Yom. And on Rosh Chodesh, the Gaon carried on the practice in the Mikdash that what? You only say Baruch Inafshi. Kidei lefarsimo shehu Rosh Chodesh. To be mefarsim. So one of the methods which are used for pirsim, and they had a couple of built-in things, sometimes to be mefarsim that it's Shabbos, sometimes, I'll give you an example where liturgy is used for pirsim. Anybody who davens Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur knows very well that the Yotzros of day number one of Rosh Hashanah and the Yotzros of day number two of Rosh Hashanah don't focus on any particular day of the week. They describe themes of Rosh Hashanah. Yet, if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, what do? We say the Yotzros of day number two on Shabbos and the Yotzros of day number one on Sunday. So I look carefully, and I'm pretty sensitive to what's going on in the davening. There's nothing in there that says you can, a thing that's connecting the first day to Shabbos. Absolutely nothing. Zero. So why do you have to switch it around? Because you want to be mefarsim that today is Shabbos. When it's a Yom Tov, there are people who think today's Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to carry, and you forget the component that it's Shabbos. So one of the ways you do things is just to do a little twist. Switch the yitzes around. Ah, why are you switching? Because today's Shabbos. To remind people that it's Shabbos. The Gaon feels that that is one of the functions of the Shir as well. And hence, if they were not sure, what did they didn't do anything. Because to say the wrong thing would mean today is definitely not Rosh Chodesh. So people hear that they sang the regular Tuesday song on Rosh Chodesh. Oh, and then what happened? Today was not Rosh Chodesh. So then it turned out to be Rosh Chodesh. So they alerted people to what? That there might be a Rosh Chodesh pending. How did they alert people? That if they weren't 100% sure, they didn't sing any shir at all. That in itself was a that's number one. Yeah.
It doesn't really fit into the lashon of the Torah.
What?
The Torah doesn't really fit into the Torah. Says the zelo haisam mitzvasa
ala bavokim. I know. That's what he. So the preshe is explaining our practice. Regard. He doesn't answer the Torah. He just said the Torah is dead wrong. So why don't we go ahead and say it by mincha? So he gives his explanation. The mag. Yeah. Wait, you said Lamnatzeh ben Ginot? Yeah, I don't know. No, maybe. I don't know. Don't know. You should know. You say it. So look into it. Yeah.
Doesn't our Mishnah also imply that it was shared by Mincha? The fact that you have Chatzotzer?
Of course, 100%. But here it's talking about the Chatzotzer. But exactly. No doubt about it. The Magen Avraham gives a reason, combining something we said 2 seconds ago. If it is possible that what? That the Chatzotzeros were done in conjunction with the Nisach HaYayin, not during the actual Korban, the halacha is that b'di'eved, that Nisach HaYayin at night is kosher. That if you brought the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim before Shkia, and you did not have a chance to be Menasech the Yayin, you are allowed to lichatchila then be Menasech the Yayin even Ba'erev Balayla. However, all forms of Shira cannot take place at night. Ein Oimrim Shira Ella Bayoim, says the Gemara in Erechin, Yud Aleph Amid Beis. I should have photostated that. Ma kapara bayom, af shira bayom. The only time, that's why every Yom Tov, we never say halal at night. Only during the day, with the exception of Pesach night, because there's a special pasuk. Kileil hischadesh chag. Special pasuk that say that one night a year you're supposed to say halal at night. But no other Yom Tov do you say it at night. Because shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for some reason, only during the day. So the Magen Avraham says that since it's our, in some communities, Lo Yalaini, that they used to daven mincha very, very late, after the Shkia, then, so even if they started before the Shkia, they finish after the Shkia, and by that time it's already Al Pidin Laila, no Shira, hence we are limited to Shir Shel Yom by Mincha, even though undoubtedly in the Mikdash there was a Shir Shel Yom in the Mikdash. No doubt about it. That's how the Magen Avraham answers that kasha. Yeah. Yeah. Now, the last thing that I want to talk about is a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. In the words of the Mishnah, when did they blow on Erev Shabbos the last three blowings? When did they blow? So let's read the Rashi. The Rashi is the B'dibur Hamaskel Ben Kodesh Lechol. It's the first wide line on the page of Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Kishikidesh, when did they blow the second ones? Ben Kodesh Lechol. Kishikidesh Hayom. Lehodiyah Shechashcha, that it's dark. V'yesh me'ata chiyuv skila b'malacha. So according to Rashi, when do they blow the Chatzotzeros on Friday? At Seisa Kachav. Because the chiyuv skila is only after Seis. Despite the fact that we begin Shabbos definitively by Shkia Sachama, because it's a Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila, but there is never any penalty of Skila for somebody who is Mechal Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. Why? Why? Because it's by definition Hasra Safek. In order to prosecute somebody, you have to tell a person right before he is about to transgress, the action which you are doing now at this moment is biblically prohibited and subject to X penalty. X penalty. According to some, you have to say you're subject to death. According to others, you have to say, which specify? Achiyata lemisa haraulah. You have to say, skila. Well, if you do malacha between shkia sechama, the Adam can't say definitively that what? That this is us. Well, maybe it's still yoin. Because Bein Hashmashos, by definition, is a suffik yoin, suffik laila. So at this particular time, it can never lead to a skila because it's haswa suffik. There's always an element of doubt as to whether or not the activity which you are currently engaged in is is asur or not. So therefore, Rashi, when he says to let people know the zman of what? Kares, he's talking about Seis HaKachav. Take a look at the Rambam. And this is now page 6. The Rambam is in, this is Perek Hay of Hilchos Shabbos. Says the Rambam, Tkiya Rishayna, during the first time that they blew the shofar, the Chatzayitz Ros, Nimnu Ha'ondim Basadot Milach Rosh Umila Ador Umilasas Malacha Shebesados. People who were in the field, who had a little greater distance to get home, had to stop working completely when they heard the first blasts. Ve'ein hakrovim rishoy likones le'ir ad shi'evo rechokim v'yikonsu kulam bevasachas. This is a safety procedure. That those who what? Who are closer to the city are not permitted to go into the city to their homes until the outer people have come because of safety. We know that there are many takanas during davening because of safety. Saying Baruch Hashem li'olam amein v'yamein. You know, we do things like that. V'adayin hachanuyos psuchos. But the stores in town are open. V'hatrisin munachin. And the shutters, treason are shutters, they are still lying on the ground. Hischil litkoat kiyashnia. They now blow a second blast. Nistalku hatreason, the shutters are placed. V'ninalu hachanuyos. V'adayin hachamin v'hakderus menachin al gabekira. And now, but the pots are still directly on top of the flame. Hischil litkoat kiyashlishis. And many want to know, where did the Rambam get this Kiyah Shlishis from? Mm-hmm. Our Mishnah only says two sets of blasts. The Rambam suddenly has a three-set blast. Saleik ha-misaleik, v'hitmin ha-matmin. What you do is you remove everything from the stove. You are matmin, you cover, you wrap the pots in whatever towels you're going to use. V'hedligu is haneros, and you light candles. V'shoheh k'dei litzlos dog katan. And you wait until the amount of time it would have taken to roast a small little herring, a shtickle herring. O kedei lahadbik pas betanur, v'tokeya umeria v'tokeya v'shoves. So they blew four times. They blew a fourth time. And when does this take place? Says the Rambam. Tkiya rishayna tokeya sabamincha. The first time that they blew the fast, people in the field, Shadad, that's the Zman Mincha. Mincha Ketan, 9,500 to the day. The Hashlishis, Karov L'Shkia Sachama. The third time is when? Karov L'Shkia Sachama. The Chayin Tokim B'Motzoi Shabbos. So Rashi doesn't say, Rambam doesn't say you wait until Tzeis, you do it already before Shkia. And the Rambam is 100% correct. What's the purpose of the last set of blasts? What's the purpose of the last set of blasts? To remind people, you're not allowed to do malacha any longer. Every known knows that you're not allowed to do malacha after Shkia. Because you might be touching upon an Issa Doraisa. You're right that you won't get kares until you do malacha 40 minutes from now. But if the purpose of the malacha is lahavtil esa'omim malacha, why would that last blast first take place at Seis HaKachavim when it's 40 minutes too late? You fail to remind a person 40 minutes too late, and then, you know, he'll think, oh, I didn't hear the last blast yet. It's not so terrible to do a malacha. So the Rambam is of the opinion that the last blasts are by Shkia Sacham. So that when it comes by Shkia itself, you know that as soon as the sun sets, you are not permitted to engage in any malacha, which indeed you are not allowed to. But according to Rashi, it's a little difficult to understand why they would delay the second or last blast until Tzeisah Kachavim, simply to let you know that what? That what? That the Issachar is.
What's the fourth one?
The fourth one is at Shkia to say this is it. No. So what's the third one? The third one? Here's where Rav Chaim comes in and disagrees with the Gaon. The Gaon was of the opinion, based, I have to tell you that Rambam by heart. Perek Chav Tes Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam writes, listen to this. Yesh lo la'adam l'kadesh be'arav Shabbosos afal pi shelo nichnesa ha-Shabbos. Perek Yud Aleph, Hilcha Shabbos, Perek Chav Tes Halacha Yud Aleph. A person can recite the Kiddush during the day on Friday, even though Shabbos has not arrived. Okay, you try that. You're going to make Kiddush at house, and then you're going to turn on the ball game. What are you talking about, Rambam? So the Gaon says that this Rambam teaches us that the Rambam denies the principle of Tosefes Shabbos. He doesn't believe that it exists. He does not believe that it exists. There is no thing as Tosefes Shabbos. The only time when the Rambam acknowledges Tosefes is Yom HaKippurim, where the Gemara itself says, "Besisha l'chodesh ba'erev," that you have to fast already on the 9th and add a little on to the 11th. But at Erev Shabbos, says the Gaon Shitas HaRambam, not only there's no mitzvah, you can't add on to the Shabbos. It's impossible. So that's why you can make Kiddush, you can daven Maariv, make Kiddush, as Rav did. Rav Tzoli Shal Shabbos Berev Shabbos. And he made Kiddush. But Shabbos didn't start. And the Gaon's opinion was, Tosefes Shabbos doesn't exist. Rav Chaim disagreed with the Gaon and said that the Rambam acknowledges Tosefes Shabbos. Where? In the third blast. What did the Rambam tell you to do after the third blast? Vishoheh, he says, you stop doing all the malachas already. And now you wait a couple of minutes until it would take you to roast what? A small little fish, which is not a couple of minutes at best. And now comes Shkia Sacham. So why is the Rambam telling me to stop doing malacha a couple of minutes before? So some claim, the Gaon says, you know what's running through the Rambam's mind? He says, you can't time it exactly. Can't time it exactly to do what? Stop malacha exactly at sundown. It's hard to tell exactly when sundown is if you don't have a watch. Reb Chaim says, no. You know why the Rambam is telling you to blow that third thing? To indicate Tosefes Shabbos begins now. Even though it's before Shkia Sachama, I'm letting you know that it's a couple of mornings before Shkia, so that you will be Mekabel Shabbos a couple of more minutes before the actual Zman happens to arrive. That's what Reb Chaim claims is the purpose of that third one, disagreeing with the Gaon, who claims that Shitas HaRambam is that there is no such thing, no such animal as Tosefes Shabbos. Alright, we'll stop here. I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. I know it's not easy. Thank Alan for coordinating it. Thank you so much.